Hey, it's Chaos Queen here, and you're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
Hey, it's Mistress Carrie, and you are listening to Studio 2009.
Hello, everyone. It is I, TFG and Mike from the Geekcast Radio Network. All right, folks. Well, this has been a special series here inside Studio 2009, only on the Geekcast Radio Network, that I have had planned pretty much for the last 5.5 years, ever since Studio started, ever since Steve Megatron and I started Studio 2009 in 2020, in July. Well, actually, it wasn't July. It was June. June 2nd, 2020 is when we started Studio 2009, but ever since then, I've wanted to revisit a certain film franchise because looking through the Geekcast Radio Network archives and all of our over 4,000 podcast episodes, we've never done individual episodes on each of these five films. And over the years from 2020 to 2021, 2022, 2023, last year, and now, we just never have gotten around to doing it up until now. However, over the last 6 months, 7 months, now that we're in July, Hans grows there? I don't know. Anyway, over the last 6 months of 2025, I don't want to say the disabilities that I have, but because of my disabilities, I've been sick a lot more in the last 6.5 to 9.5 months from the end of, well, technically from the middle of 2024. Basically, from last summer to this summer, I have been so sick off and on, off and on, off and on. I've had tests, I've had this, I've had that. I've had, I think, 4 different MRIs. I've had 7 different cats scan me. I don't like when cats scan me. I often wonder what would happen if dogs scanned me. I don't know, folks. I just don't know. But finally, pushing back the fast content, the Fast and the Furious content a little bit, even though that's already recorded and ready to go. Even though I still haven't edited it yet, because as of this recording, I haven't edited a podcast in 2.5 to 3 months because I've been so sick. Y'all know me. Y'all should know me by now in this December, I will celebrate 17 years of podcasting. In 17 years, I think somewhere back in 2015, 2016, I took over the editing full-time for most of the shows that at least Steve and I do, and sometimes that. And I know Steve is kind of taking the editing back now a little bit. Thank you so much, Steve. You rock. And I like rocks. Anyway. But I do, if I'm recording a show and I'm doing the show and whatever, I like to edit my own shows and things like that and whatever. And I like doing the process, and I like being in the process of doing the editing, because I listen to every second of audio. I cut out every glug, bleh, bleh. I cut out all that Tasmanian devil stuff. Of course, I won't cut that out, because that was just, you know, a sample of what I usually cut out. But anyway, I haven't been able to do that the last 2.5 to 3 months, and my motivation has had a severe lacking, and my depression has really gotten me down, because part of my ailment in May of this year in 2025, and I know this is a long-ass intro and nobody really cares to hear about this stuff, but it's my podcast and God, I can't even get the reference out. This is how bad it's been. It's my podcast, and I'll do whatever the fuck I want to do. It's my podcast, and I'll cry if I want to. Anyway, in May of 2025, I was trying to walk down the very small It's not even a hallway. It's like a section of my apartment between my living room, my bedroom, and my bathroom. It's like a nook. It's like a cranny. It's nothing. And I lost my balance because of the cerebral palsy, because of the whatever. And I went to grab the wall. Well, instead of grabbing the wall with my left hand, which is my dominant hand, apparently the wall decided to grab my elbow, or my elbow decided to grab the wall, hitting my left elbow, basically on the tip of my elbow, somehow destroyed my ulnar nerve, or did something to my ulnar nerve. And that then caused issues with my left hand, which is the only hand I can use to do anything in this world. Breathe, Mike. Breathe. Oh, boy. And basically, in between my ring, in between my middle finger and my ring finger, from my ring finger out to my pinky and down to my wrist, that whole entire section of my left hand is constantly numb, tingly, and whatever. The doctors have said it's your ulnar nerve, there's something wrong with it, we need to test it, we need to do this, that, and the other thing. So I've gone in for MRIs on my neck. I've done this, I've done that, I've done everything in McGillicuddy that I can think to do, and I'm waiting on results, which is pushed back Studio 2009. That's the whole friggin' point. I told you that story to tell you this story. That's the point. That's why the Fast and the Furious stuff has been pushed back. The other reason why the Fast and the Furious stuff has been pushed back is it is July 2025. And in July, Die Hard grows there. 5 episodes, 5 weeks, maybe 5 days if I can get it done fast enough. I don't know. It's either going to be 5 Fridays, if we have 5 Fridays in July. I don't even know. I got to look. What do we have in July for 5 days? Well, I already missed 1 Friday. Let's see here. Damn, I missed a week, which means I missed the 5 weeks. Freak. Damn it. That was the whole point. There was 5 weeks in July. Well, okay, so at some point there will be 5 days of Die Hard this month. As soon as Steve Megatron and I get it recorded, we are recording them every Monday. So this is going to seep over into August. Yes, folks, I know I'm doing behind-the-scenes talk here on the podcast and yada, 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 yada. I'm trying to figure this out in my brain-damaged brain, don't you know? Anyway, Die Hard, 1988, Die Hard 2, Die Harder, Die Hard with a Vengeance, Live Free or Die Hard, and it's a good day to, well, it's just called A Good Day to Die Hard. All 5 Die Hards with myself and Steve Megatron coming up next here inside Studio 2009. And you will only hear this clip in episode 141 of Studio 2009, the Die Hard episode, 1988's Die Hard, Bruce Willis, Alan Rickman, Reginald Bell Johnson. You will not hear this in the other 4 preceding film episodes, 142 to 145. You will hear something else in those. So, start at the beginning, continue on through this. 141 to 145. Oh, yeah. And Die Hard is not a Christmas movie. It's a movie that takes place at Christmas. I'm sure Steve and I will fight about this more as this episode continues. Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon. Now, on with the show.
Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
All right, folks. Yes, that's right. On with the show. No matter how sick I am. There's nothing wrong with your podcast player. Do not attempt to adjust the volume. Hello and welcome back into our studio. You're now inside Studio 2009. Only on the Geekcast Radio Network. I am the TF2 and Mike. And joining me once again is not that name, Steve Megatron. Hello, sir. Yo. How are you?
Doing good.
That's good.
I'm ready to visit Nakatomi Tower again.
Yeah,
again? After years and years and years.
You know, folks, it's... I thought we did this once before. We did, kinda, sorta, not really. This isn't like Batman. This isn't like Transformers. This isn't like... We've covered Die Hard on the Geekcast Radio Network exactly twice. That's it. Twice. It was originally back on Movie Week in Review. It was episode 4. We covered the entire franchise with people we no longer talk about or no longer talk to. We may talk about them. We try not to because they don't want to have... what. Anyway, whatever. But yeah, back in the day, episode 4 of Movie Week in Review. If you visit geekcastradio.com, go over to the Movie Week in Review section. You can still listen to that episode because it's a part of our history. It's a part of our legacy. It's something we're still proud of because we still enjoyed doing the content that we did way back when we first started. And we still had fun with those people that we had fun with back then. We discussed the entire Die Hard franchise at that time. There were only 4 movies, I believe. There should have only been 4 movies because...
Correct.
Whatever. And then we did the GCRN Wars episode, I believe also episode 4, where we pitted Die Hard against the Lethal Weapon franchise. And I'm pretty sure in my research through the search bar on geekcastradio.com, searching Die Hard, Die Hard 2, Die Harder, Die Hard with a Vengeance, and Live Free or Die Hard, I searched all titles, all everything that led to Die Hard, even is it a Christmas movie or is it not a Christmas movie? Those are the only 2 things that pop up. So in our 16-year history, we've only ever covered this film twice. We've never covered the sequels. I mean, okay, yeah, again, technically, covering the whole franchise is covering the sequels, but we've only ever done that once. Because pitting the twice, because you pit the franchises together, but like pitting the franchises together against each other is different than covering each of the franchises. So yeah, Christmas in July. Yeah, Die Hard 1-5. I wish it would have stayed at 4.
It should have only been 4.
I've never even seen the 5th film. I've seen the trailer to the 5th film, but I don't even remember that because the 5th film, one of the 5th film came out in 2013, 11 years ago. 12. Yeah, that's right. Right. No, 12 years. Fuck. The last Die Hard movie came out 12 years ago. Wow.
They tried to make another one.
They failed.
What happened is they could never get the script right. They wanted to do a prequel story. In an interesting way, the guy that was trying to pitch it and write it, it was basically going to jump back and forth between past and modern day.
Okay.
A ramification of John McClane before he was
John McClane. You know,
like when he was a rookie, like a mistake that he made. Yep. And having someone younger play him then, and then having him as an older man having to deal with the repercussions of that mistake. And so in that regard, it would have been interesting and cool to see.
Yeah, I don't know. It would have been. I think it's too late now.
Oh, it's too late because,
Yeah, I've seen news articles pop up that Willis has lost his voice, unfortunately.
Well, and it's part of his condition. Like he's losing the ability to remember anything and how to speak and, you know, probably barely knows some of the stuff anymore. And
yeah,
it's unfortunate the travesty of crap that happens to the brain.
You're telling me. Yep. And it's very, very sad. And, you know, but I mean, you know, we are left with, I mean, he's not gone. Obviously, he's still with us. But it's those diseases and that kind of thing that just eat away at you. And it just sucks. It really, really does. And we just gotta live on through the legacy that is left to us. And Die Hard is one of his biggest legacies that he has left us. And I just want to make sure that I get this correct.
Ooh. Technical difficulties. Let's move on, shall we?
Why the fuck didn't you stop him, John? Because then you'd be dead too, asshole. Think, goddammit, think.
So getting into Just the Facts, we are going to do something a little bit different for Just the Facts here in this episode of Studio 2009. We are going to bring you a very unmusical version of something that we would love to be able to put into this podcast that we can't put into this podcast without just saying the lines. So, remember when we first met John McClane? Argyle picked him up from the plane and took him down to Nakatomi Tower to meet with Holly. Oh God, I'm going to start rhyming with this shit now. He came to get her back to be her man, but Hans and his buddies fucked up the plan. And that's about when everything went sour at the Christmas party. And the terrorists were overzealous, but it was sweet when they killed Ellis. Yes, it was, because that guy can just jump off a bridge.
He was cringy, man.
Oh, we are so going to get into this. I hate that guy.
Oh, me too.
That guy. Oh, that guy.
I could almost see John going, do I try and fight for his life? Do I not? Yeah.
No.
Hans. Bobby.
Just John McClane kicked ass, because we're going to die hard. Die as hard as we can. So that is lyrics, poorly said by me, from a band called Guys Night. Guys, GUYZNITE, is a song called Die Hard, now with a fourth verse. That former friend of ours pointed that out to me back during when we did the original M-Wire episode. I've been listening to that song all weekend long. I've been watching that video because it's the best plot synopsis of all four movies. So folks, be ready for the other three out of the five episodes, because I've got separate sections for each. This is the easiest way to plot synopsize this. Oh, God. But yes, Die Hard. I mean, we don't really need it. Everyone knows Die Hard. I mean, you know, it's not Christmas until Hans falls off Nakatomi Tower. It's not Christmas until John scrunches up his toes in the bathroom. In the bathroom of Nakatomi Tower, because he doesn't believe the guy on the airplane.
True.
Excuse me. We are 3 years away from this film's 40th anniversary. It's 37 years old this year. I have two separate versions of the La La Land Records soundtrack in my closet somewhere. I meant to dig it out to play it today. I just didn't have the time. The music is great. The music is done by Michael Kamen. The film was directed by John McTiernan. We are not going to go through. Everyone knows who is in this movie. I will say a couple of names, but the only reason why I'm bringing up the director is because I wanted to just briefly let everyone know, like, the man has, like, he was active as a director from 86 to 2003.
So I just wanted to bring up just a smidge of his career here. Predator, Die Hard, The Hunt for Red October, Last Action Hero. We will talk about him again in the third episode of this arc for Die Hard with a Vengeance. Thomas Crown Affair, and Rollerball from 2002. So that's all for John McTiernan. But I love the style of this movie. This is classic 80s action movie for me. I don't even remember when. I remember when I saw this movie. I saw this movie on VHS back to back when. No, I saw this movie on a TV edit of this movie when my mom had the VHS copy of the second movie rented on VHS. That's when I saw this movie. I was 8 years old when this movie came out. I did not see this in theaters.
I missed you.
I guess you didn't miss my name, though, huh? Except maybe when you're signing checks. Since when did you start using Ms. Gennaro?
It's a Japanese company. They figure a married woman's got...
You are a married woman, Holly. You're married to me.
We're going
to
have this conversation again. We did this in July.
We never finished this conversation in July.
I had an opportunity I had to take.
Right. No matter what the consequences, no matter what it did to our marriage, you had to take this
opportunity. It didn't do anything to our marriage, except maybe change your idea of what our marriage...
I don't think you have a clue as to what my idea of our marriage should be.
I know exactly what your idea of our marriage should be.
Ms. Gennaro, I...
Yeah, I didn't obviously see this in theaters, but I saw it as,
Yeah, you were two when this movie came out in theaters. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw it as a teenager, and then, I don't know, I've always liked the movie. I always liked Bruce Willis, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Eddie Murphy, like all these guys that have been in action movies back in the 80s, and I don't know, their portrayals and just how they did it, even though they would have all died from everything that they went through. But yeah, I really do like this movie, though. The whole dynamic between John and his wife, like Hans Gruber, as funny as it is, the language.
Yep.
Or the accents.
Yes, the accents.
Hans Gruber. Oh no, you're one of them. Like just rolls right into it.
Yeah, yeah.
But John's always like one step ahead of everybody.
Yeah. I think the one scene that stuck out to me more this time around of watching the movie, and I haven't seen this since, honestly, I haven't watched Die Hard because I'm not like the rest of you nuts. And when I say the rest of you nuts, I'm saying like, you want to get nuts? Let's get nuts. I'm talking like Michael Keaton nuts. I'm not like the rest of you nuts every Christmas watching this damn movie. I haven't watched this since we did the Lethal Weapon versus Die Hard episode of... Look, I like Die Hard, but Die Hard to me is a fine wine. You need to let it breathe. Swirl around the glass, you inhale its aroma, you appreciate it for what it is, you enjoy it for what it is, you have fun with it, you let it go after a while, and then you come back to it so you can enjoy it again for a specific reason, like Christmas in July here on the Geekcast Radio Network Studio 2009. So I have not actively watched this movie in, when was that GCR and Wars? Probably.
Dude, that was forever ago.
Yeah, that was probably 2010, 2011. So yeah, it's been a while. I mean, again, I have a healthy respect for Die Hard. I will engage in all the arguments for all the memes of Die Hard and everything else and whatever and all that and whatever. But like,
I need a reason to go back to watch it. Die Hard for me is not comfort watching. It's
it's a necessity. It's lifeblood.
No, it's not lifeblood for me. Die Hard. There's another Bruce Willis movie that could be lifeblood for me if I really, but it isn't one of his action movies either. But yeah, no. So like, that's why I had such fun with it this time, was because I was paying attention more to it to see what I could pull out of it this time. And the one scene that kept me coming back was, why the fuck did you go upstairs, Hans? Why the fuck did you go upstairs, Hans? What were you doing upstairs, huh? And he finds the C4 and the detonators and the this and the that and the whatever, because he's going to blow the roof. So to bring it back to your whole, oh my God, to the late great Alan Rickman always being able to turn it on. Yeah, in this cast, this is not a stacked cast. It's a great cast, but it's not like, there's Bruce Willis, there's Alan Rickman, there's Reginald Vell Johnson, and there's Paul Gleason. William Atherton, okay, sure, I'll give you Richard Thornburg, great. Clarence Gilliard is an early Theo. Is an early, because that dude for me wouldn't get super popular until later, because he would get 89 to 93, he would become Conrad McMasters on Matlock, and then from 93 to 2001 he was James Trivette on Walker Texas Ranger. But this movie was, I would say, his bouncing off point, because this was the first time I'd ever seen Clarence Gilliard as Theo. And then just briefly looking at William Atherton, I know who Richard Thornburg is, but I know the name. I just don't know what else. I was trying to think if he... Oh, The Pelican Brief. Okay. Huh. I was trying to think if I had recognized him from... Like, he reminds me he's not Walter Peck from Ghostbusters, but I thought he was, and he's not. But yeah, no, Die Hard just... It's one of those movies that just kind of... Like you said... You didn't necessarily have to go back and watch it. You wanted to go back and watch it, kind of thing. And that's the same thing with me. Even though I'd been listening to the song all weekend long, I still went back and I watched it this morning, because I wanted to have it, not just to have it fresh in my mind, but I genuinely wanted to watch it again, to re-experience the awesomeness of this film, because this film is awesome. And you have so many great moments, so many great action moments. The fact that I would love, and I know certain people we don't talk to anymore could have probably hooked this up, but I would love to actually be able to talk to an FBI agent to actually find out if this is something they would actually do. Instead of putting rescue choppers, would they put a TAC chopper? Like, that has to be the most Hollywood FBI thing into this. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think that they would not. Not for a bit. No, that's fake. But I tell you what I do find interesting about this, and what I do find very real in this when it comes to some of the police stuff and stuff between McClane and Sergeant Al Powell, is them talking about their psychological trauma
about Al talking about how he had to give up and how, you know, he shot a kid and how that screwed him up, and how John talked about how his trauma screwed him up.
You know, when you're a rookie, they can teach you everything about being a cop except how to live with a mistake.
So that I do know several police officers. I've known several police officers in my lifetime who have talked about that kind of stuff. So that, I will say, is factually correct when it does come to certain parts about being in law enforcement. It's not a profession for everybody. And it's not a profession for, like, they don't train you for that kind of stuff. You have to be able to deal with that stuff at some point or another, and you have to be able to talk about it.
I think it's cool we had Carl Winslow in it, though.
I think this was before. I'm pretty sure. This is before Family Matters happened in 93, I think. Yeah, no. So the funniest thing about this movie is everybody that's in this movie, most everybody, between Reginald Vell Johnson and a couple of the other people I've already mentioned, this is the linchpin. This is the jumping off point for them. Family Matters started in 89. This was 88.
So they were like, oh, he's fitting.
Yeah. Hey.
But, no, I'm saying, but, like, the role fit him. Like, he just.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He just did it in a different way in the TV show. Yeah. But, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, Die Hard is one of those movies where it took two or three of its cast members, and it launched them into various different parts of their acting career. And yeah, it's very, very interesting. Very awesome. What else would you like to discuss about the film, sir?
Despite the fact that it was an action movie, there was a lot of humor.
Yep.
Especially on behalf of John McClane.
Yes.
I'm glad that Ellis took a dive.
Yes.
Not necessarily the way that he went, but, and then, you know, Holly's boss, you know,
sadly that was rough.
But I didn't feel as much remorse for, yeah. He was just annoying every step of the way. Ellis, like, I was like, please go away.
Yeah, Ellis is.
And then McClane's wife is just like, I did love the fact that at the end of the movie, she decks the reporter.
Yeah, Thornburg. Yep.
Because he exposed their children to Hans and caused all of the trauma for them.
Yep.
And I was like, way to go. And then, like, you know, you could see, like, John kind of smirking, like, you know, and then he gets the, you know, the escort from the limo driver.
Yep. Good old Argyle.
Yeah. And, but yeah, it was almost like in a sense, like a repeat on Die Hard 2. I know we're not on Die Hard 2, but there were a lot of things that were mirrored to this particular film.
Yeah.
Kind of reused elements of. No, I mean, this is one of those movies, like, I don't watch it, like, often. But when I do, I enjoy it.
Yeah,
I still want to know how the henchman that got his head wrapped around a, you know, a chain hanging from the ceiling got down at the end of the movie.
I don't want to know that.
I still want to know, because, like, where did you come from, dude?
I don't want to know. I'm good. I assume. No, we're a couple years before Hook. I was going to say, you know, Captain Hook cut him down, but a couple of years before Never
Land. I mean, he was just hanging out. He was just hanging around.
Yeah, hanging around.
Yeah. He was up, and then he was down. He was
down, yeah. Like, I know that 2 takes place in the D.C. airport. I know 2 has Dennis Franz in it. I know 2 I think that's all I know about two. I know two, he has a rocket launcher, I think, if I remember correctly.
And everybody's corrupt in that movie.
Well, yes, obviously. Except for Fred Dalton. Except for Fred Dalton Thompson. Fred Dalton Thompson is not corrupt in that movie.
And Sergeant Powell.
Well, yes, but Sergeant Powell can never be corrupted.
No.
So, Die Hard is a movie that you could show anybody and tell nobody that there are four other sequels to. It's one of those movies that is a movie that in today's modern age you wouldn't think exists, because in today's modern age they don't know how to make a single movie and leave it alone anymore. There are single movies in this modern age most of the time sometimes, but today's movie making age, they're either a multitude of universes, or there's this, or there's that. But I'm glad that there are at least four Die Hard sequels, three Die Hard sequels. But Die Hard from 88, it's got great writing. It's got great action. It's got great stunts. I think for me, the other thing I noticed with this more than anything else, and it's something very rarely that anyone really gives too much credit for, and I didn't notice the name off the top of my head, but for some odd reason, the title of costume designer or costumer in the credits as the movie starts and stuff popped into my head, and I'm like, oh. And I started noticing, and I'm going to notice this through the other movies as we watch them, just watching the costumes in movies lately, I've been doing that a lot. And, you know, you look at Die Hard and you think, oh, John's in this, or like Hans and his crew, they're all in suits and this and that. And Polly's in her, like, I don't know what she's dressed as, but like Mr. Takagi's in his suit, and Ellis is in his ugly ass, stupid, look at me, I'm an idiot suit and whatever. But I've just been noticing that more, like paying attention to the costume, like how film sets go about doing the costumes for the roles that people play in movies, because that is a huge part of telling the story, is how your actors and actresses are dressed. And I really think that in this movie, it's so good to the point of you notice it, but it's so unnoticeable at the same time. And it's just one of those unsung hero things for the business of movie making. You know, it's like the lighting guy. Like if the lighting guy isn't doing their job right, you're going to note, oh, that shot isn't lit very well, or the light's in my eye. Which eye? My left eye. Oh, I'll put it in your right one. Whatever. You know, it's like, it's not done correctly, it's not going to look good. And with Die Hard, the story is so good. And yes, there are cringeworthy moments, like, but that's the point. It's the point is to have, and again, let's say this movie was produced, and I don't know because I'm not looking at the production notes, but let's say it's produced anywhere from late 86, maybe mid 87, releases in 88. That time, the news business was cutthroat. You look at that news scene where Thornburg is in the station, basically begging for a news van, and you got the idiot on-air male producer, male anchor, arguing with him about stuff, and they're going back. How cutthroat that was back then. And so that's why I think when you see Thornburg at the house. And when John sees that and Holly sees that by the end of the movie, yep, you knew it. Like, I literally, when I saw that, I'm like, okay, I know the movie's almost over, but I know. Did you get, literally, he's watching, you know, he's talking to the camera. He's talking to the camera. He's doing the story, doing the story. And I'm like, did you get that? Did you, literally before he even says the line, did you get that? Did you get that? Did you get, and then all of a sudden she comes up behind him and hits him. And he looks over to the, did you get that? Like, I knew that line was coming. Like,
I wasn't even paying attention to that line.
Oh, no. I remember that like it was yesterday. Because I knew she was going to hit him. So, but yeah, Die Hard 1, absolute perfection. 5 out of 5 on the geek meter, geekometer, tomato meter, geekometer, whatever meter we have here anymore.
Geekometer.
Cucumber meter. Yeah, there you go. Oh, boy. So, yeah. Do you have a favorite, you have a favorite line from this one?
Well, I mean,
nah.
We'll have a few laughs.
Yeah. Come out to the coast. We'll spend some time together. We'll have a few laughs.
Yeah. That, I mean, I love the sarcasm. That's what gets me. Like, I think that's what I love so much about it is I'm like, okay, this is just funny because it's, you know, they're just having a good time with it.
Yep, yep, yep. Absolutely, absolutely.
I mean, other than his catchphrase.
Obviously, I said it in my head. I'm like, I know what he's going to say. Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon.
That I played that for a guy at work. And he just starts laughing. He's like, that's so bad. That's like, it doesn't even sound like him. And I says, that's the point.
That's the point. It's not even the line. Oh, boy.
Like, they know nothing. Nothing, I tell you.
Yeah. All right, folks. I think that's going to do it for us. We're going to head into a quick podcast ad break. And here's some podcast ads, some other stuff from the shows we like to promote around here on the Geekcast Radio Network Studio 2009. We'll come back to close the show right after this.
Now I have a machine gun. Ho, ho, ho.
Hello, geeks and geekettes. Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks, every Friday on the Geekcast Radio Network.
Are you missing entertainment in your life? Welcome to Captain Ruggles Gaming. Whether it's guides, roleplay content, or our shenanigans with our collaborations with the 20 years standing strong Fart Clan, also known as Fast Action Response Team, or the Wrecking Crew, we have something for everyone. So join us when we traverse the cosmos of space games, survive the undead in zombie games, or just having fun in first-person shooters or random indie games. Visit us now at geekcastradio.com and youtube.com/@CaptainRuggles or Google search Captain Ruggles Gaming. It's game time, and I'll see you out on the battlefield.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The Geekcast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series where we review noted directors' movies film by film.
Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or geekcastradio.com.
For the best in science fiction, join Mark Baumgarten, Vicky Jakubowski, Zion Kiros, and Juan San Miguel on the award-winning podcast Marku 42's Universe. Doctor Who, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Star Trek, and more are all fair game with Mark Who 42, which has been around since 2012 in one form or another. Mark Who 42's universe is proud to be a part of GeekCast Radio Network, the best place to get your geek on. Listen to us bi-weekly or weekly if we have a topic relevant for you, our listeners. Mark Who 42 on GeekCast Radio Network, a match made in a galaxy near you.
Do you like the Transformers?
Yes.
Do you like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Cowabunga!
Do you like IDW Comics?
And comic book podcasts?
Then come check out Ninjas and Bots. Each week we look at an issue of Transformers
or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles from their IDW Comics incarnation. We drop episodes every Saturday morning.
Just like the cartoons we loved as a kid. The show can be found on your favorite podcatcher and at johnreadscomics.com.
See you then.
Hi, I'm Dan, and I'm the host of the Rock Nerd Radio Show, which airs live on HudsonRiverRadio.com every Wednesday evening at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It also gets backed up as a podcast, which you can find on your preferred podcasting platform. Every week on my show, I talk about all kinds of pop culture. I talk about music, I talk about movies, TV, comics, collectibles, and so much more. I also feature a guest on my show periodically, which you might enjoy. I have a couple of special segments on my show, one called The Cover Song of the Week and My Favorite Thing in the World This Week. If you think this sounds cool, check it out sometime. I hope you do.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk...
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spot sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Car, car.
Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
All right, we are back here inside Studio 2009. This is episode 141, Die Hard. Any final thoughts, sir, before I run through the closing?
Come out to the coast, we'll get together, have a few laughs.
No, this one for me is probably... I'll give this one. I got to give this one like a 5 out of 5, just because the initial one, it sets the tone. It sets the kind of everything for the future of it.
Oh yeah.
But I do love a good shut your brain off action movie with Bruce Willis every now and again.
Mm-hmm.
And Arnold and all those guys.
Yep.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to rewatching these and getting fresh perspective on them. Like, I'm excited to discuss the second film because I think I've never fully given that one a chance. Like, I'm pretty sure I've skimmed it or like not really paid attention, or I've just watched the end and I've kind of been or like sporadically throughout it and just kind of have no idea what's going on.
Yeah,
so. I'm genuinely
excited
to see like how we relate to this film.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so for me, I know 1, 3, and 4. I remember 2. I remember, like I said earlier, I remember Fred Dalton Thompson's in it. I remember that Dennis Franz is in it. I think there's a rocket launcher at some point. I know they're in Washington, D.C. because I've been listening to the song. And I remember it's snowing. So it's because, hello, it's winter. It's Christmas. It's whatever. That's really all I remember from it. But so I remember 1, 3, and 4 the most. I mean, 1 and 3 I remember the most, and then 4.
Originally, that movie was supposed to be called Die Hard 4.0 because of the whole internet and blah, blah, blah. But then they stupidly decided to name it Live Free or Die Hard.
Stupid.
Yeah, stupid. But yeah, no, I'm very much looking forward to the next three. And I don't know what to expect other than going to Mother Russia. I don't know what to expect.
Welcome to Mother Russia.
I think they did it better in Terminal Velocity. I don't know.
No, they're like, yippee-ki-yay, Mother Russia.
Oh, God. Oh no.
That was on the materials. That was on the poster.
I know. I remember now. That's the only thing I remember now. Oh, God. I already
yippee-ki-yay, Mother Russia.
God. No.
Oh, that's horrible.
That's so bad. Why? Oh, God. But yeah, I already rated this a 5 out of 5. Oh, Lord. The one note I had thought of after I had watched this was, and I'll say it again when we get to the third movie, is, and I know this can never happen now, but can you imagine, obviously, if he hadn't died in this first film, but what a diehard Bruce Willis versus the Gruber brothers film would have, if Simon and Hans got together versus.
Oh, for sure.
Oh my God. I want it to happen so bad now. And I know it can never happen because Alan has obviously been gone now, but like, oh God.
Could you imagine? Like, that would be so fun.
Yeah, that, oh God, that would be so fun. So fun. All right, folks, that's going to do it for us here inside Studio 2009. Thank you for listening, as always. If you'd like to get in contact with us, leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can check us out on all of the podcasts that we do, from Altered Geek to Cinema Geeks to The Pull Bag to Studio 2009, Tooncast, all things Transformers and more. You can check out the shop over at shop.geekcastradio.com. Buy our stuff. Send email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can check us out on any of the podcatching clients you choose to use. We're on Twitter @geekcastradio, @itsstudio2009. I am @TFJoeAndMike. What is your Twitter?
@SCP21.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. You can also check out Studio 2009 podcast over there as well. As we said, join us next time when we will be giving you our thoughts on Die Hard 2. Die Harder. That's what she said. For now, I am TF2 and Mike with
Steve Megatron.
You'll hear us back in the studio soon.
Mr. McClain, now that it's all over after this incredible ordeal, what are your feelings?
Merry Christmas, old pal. Merry Christmas.
And how many terrorists
did that? Did you get that?
This is their idea of Christmas. I gotta be here for New Year's.